the buttons. There we are, I think we're good to go. That should be all okay.
Yes, that's fine.
Brilliant. So, I don't want to make this too formal, you know, it's all just a chat, but if you want to just tell me a little bit about yourself, so, my name is Vera, and if you'd like to say just kind of, tell me a little bit about yourself.
So what do you want me to tell you about me?
Yeah, just anything about you, yeah.
Well, I was born in Anfield in Liverpool, and I had a brother then. He was born 4 years afterwards. It was only the two of us. And my father had been discharged from the army in 1916. He'd been badly gassed and couldn't continue, so they discharged him.
Yeah.
And he was always in and out of hospital. And of course in those days, it was hard to find a job, so he was mostly unemployed. And then he'd try and get a job at one. He'd be in it for a few months and then he'd be in hospital, so they'd sack him.
Aww.
And take somebody else on.
Yeah.
And that's the way he was. Mm. And he used to get very down, I believe. My mother always said to me that my politics followed what happened to my father, because he became very bitter the way he was treated when he came out of the forces. But anyway, he died when I was 6, and my brother was 2. My mother was a widow then, and we had a pretty tough time because there was no benefits like there is now.
Yeah.
Mother got 10 shillings a week for herself, and 5 shillings for me, and 3 shillings for my brother. And I remember one of the houses we lived in, the rent was 12 and 9 pence. And she had to take that out of the 18 shillings that she got.
My goodness.
And only for the family, my grandmother, my aunts and uncles. I don't know how we would have managed, and I know my mother would have managed. We were quite, stretched when it came to buying, and we were fortunate, and my grandmother and my aunt and my uncle were very kind to us, very good to us. But I'll tell you a funny thing. The parish man used to come round, you got your pension.
Yeah.
And they came round to see every now and then if you bought anything or if you'd done anything. If you have, he'd ask you where you got the money from.
Really?
Yeah. And sometimes he told us we had to, mother had bought a gramophone, paid a shilling a week for it on the high purchase. And she had to sell it. He said, you don't need one of those. He said, you can sell it. And we got no money for a few weeks, and we had to live on the proceeds.
Really?
Yeah. It was like that.
Yeah.
And, these days you see young girls who've had babies and they insist on having a new pram.
Yeah.
Don't they? Just given two of them. You couldn't have done that in those days.
Like
no. So we had a pretty tough time. And then my mother married again when I was 10. And she married a man who had 5 children. And she didn't know he had 5 children until the week before he got married.
Oh my.
She thought he just had 2. And a few weeks before the wedding, he'd brought the 2 oldest to introduce them to my mother. But he didn't say anything about the other 3. As it happened at that time, there was that case of diphtheria going around Liverpool. It was an epidemic, And a lot of children were dying with it. And I got it, and I was in the fever hospital. And I'd been in, and it was winter when I went in. I can't exactly say when, but I know it was very dark when I went in. It was only around tea time. I went in the ambulance hospital. And I was in ages and ages. I was supposed to come home, and then they discovered that there was another girl in the ward who had scarlet fever. So we all had to stay in quarantine for another 3 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, in the hospital. And then the day came when they came and said to me, you're going home today, your mum will be here for you. And I was delighted. Because he didn't have visitors in a fever hospital in those days.
No.
You could come and look through the window at you, but they couldn't go in to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd not seen my mother at all. And my mother said she'd been, but she didn't let me see her because she knew I'd be crap. Because I was 9 then. I was 10 before I came out of hospital. And the day I came out, a stranger came for me. And I was thinking, where's she taking me? And we're going in a different direction to what I live. But eventually we got to a new corporation house that my mother had moved into. And it was the day she was getting married. she got married. And all the guests, the wedding was being held in the house.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know who they all were, all these strangers, And they were mostly my stepfather's family, because he was one of 15 children.
One of 15?
He was the oldest of 15 children, and they had children, some of them, and he had five. So I was introduced to my stepbrothers and sisters. I had two stepbrothers and three stepsisters then. And we had to wait for all the grown-ups to sit down and have their meal, and then in the end, all the children sat down. And it was very strange, and you didn't know them, and you know, nobody had introduced us or said anything. You know, you, and your children in those days, it was true, you were seen and not heard, you know.
Yeah.
And you didn't say anything. And the next thing, this lady came back again. Her name was Mrs. Rooney. And well, as soon as I saw her, I thought, oh, gosh, what's happening? And I think she came in with my coat and my coat. And I said, where are we going? Are you taking me back? She said, no, you're going to convalescence. But she took me to Freshfield, to a convalescent place. I was there for a fortnight, and I really felt that nobody wanted me.
Oh.
I felt as though I was in the way, and I didn't know that, and it hurt me that the brothers and sisters were all staying there, and I was being sent away again, really.
Yeah.
It was an awful feeling.
Oh.
And anyway, that was my childhood and my main things. When I was about, what how old was that? I was about 19, and just not long had my son when my stepfather died. We left his home because there was a shortage of houses after the war.
Yeah.
And after a while, we were allocated a prefab on East Lancashire Road. Oh, and it was lovely. We were made up with that. It was really nice. And Pat had been in the Navy during the war. He came home from the Navy after
Pat,
the war.
Sorry,
that was my husband, Jerry. Yeah. He was in the Navy, but he was on the merchant ships. He was a gunner. And the merchant ships, when they went out on convoys, had some guns on. Mm-hmm. So the Royal Navy were on to board as well. And also the the ones who were soldiers as well.
Oh, right, yes.
Then, they were on as well. But he had some awful experiences with that, because he was mostly on foreign ships.
Yeah.
And he said the food was terrible.
Oh.
You know, we'd go and jump join the queue in the galley, and we'd get something, just the look of it, it'll turn you off. He said, we'd go to the side and sit below the floor. He said, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, he came out the Navy, and with what money he got when he came back at maturity, he and his friend decided to open a butcher shop.
Oh, right.
So we did. And we were still rationing, of course. And the very first week open, the quantity of feed of meat they got was for £15 in money. And it was rationed by, you know, you got sixpence on your ration book, sixpence worth of meat or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, the very first week we opened, the ration was reduced to sixpence worth of meat. So that meant it went down to £7.10.
Oh, my.
We had £7.10 worth of meat to give to about 30 or 40 customers, share it out.
Yeah.
And we did without, because it was so mean, you know. Some people were only getting one chop, something like that. And sausages you couldn't buy. You could buy them, but they were not on the ration.
Mm.
So when the butcher had sausages, it was a pure mile long. And he'd only give them to his regular customers. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have any food. You just get about six or seven sausages standing in a queue for an hour or so.
Yeah.
No, and they'd soon go, and there was nothing else. And there was nothing else, only tin soups and things like that.
So what type of date was this?
Pat came out the army at the Navy Army. It was early 1946. So that'd be 1946, 47. That's the year I had my son. He was born in 1947.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And what happened then? Well, we eventually got the prefab, and that was lovely. But Pat had to travel to work. It was over the water on the way to the shop. And the rationing was bad. And Pat was borrowing other people's ration books to try and get a bit more. They were letting him do that. He was paying them.
Yeah.
Not as it was. To try to eke out army. Started to put our customers
in. Yeah.
But in the end, the fridge broke and it needed £200 to repair it, and we just didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So we just packed it and gave it up. And he went to one of the colleges and then started to learn welding. he became a welder then. He went to work in one of the factories as a welder.
Yeah.
And he did that for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after a while, I became ill. I got TB and was in hospital for 16 months.
My goodness.
And my mother had to have John. And John was just, he was about 11 months old when I went in hospital.
Yeah.
And I was in for 16 months. Mm. And he couldn't come in to see me, but my mother used to bring him to the railings. And when I was allowed up on a few hours a day, I could go down to the railings and see him. Oh. But he didn't know me after a while. He didn't know who I was. He was trying for my mother to pick him up and go home. You know.
Yeah.
An awful miserable thing. But eventually got this job. And I stayed home until John went to school. And then I went to go and got a job then in the electric at 12 o'clock. And to begin with, my job when I first went to work, school, I was 14 when I left school. I was window dresser in a lovely shop in Bow Street. Countess of Mayo's it was called. And there was a Countess of Mayo. Since she sold her name to Mr. Hughes to use in the shop.
Oh,
and it was lovely, the outside of the shop. It had a coronet. It was all cream and gold, you know, gold coronet. And Margaret Countess of Mayo's was the name of the shop.
Yeah.
And we sold beautiful things. Most of the stuff came from France.
And that was when you were 14?
That was in Bow Street. Number 76 Bow Street. But, Mr. Hughes died soon after I left. I got called up then when I was 17 and a half. Got called up and I had to give up the shop and I went to work. They offered me the trams, to be on the tram cars, to go into, the only place they had in the forces was in the NAFE. They didn't have any other things. And one of my friends had been called up just before me. She'd gone in the NAFE, think it would be the army like that. And all she did was scrub out canteens all day and all night.
Yeah.
She said, you know, some of the finishing, the troops had come in, there'd be muck everywhere, you'd have to do it all again. And she was very ladylike and beautiful, you know, and had lovely hands and nails, and her hands were terrible.
Oh.
Yeah, she said, don't do that. So then I had the choice of the munitions doing that, or going into the NAFE, or going into war work. So I chose the war work munitions.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and we went to training centre for that. 3 months, and then I went and got the automatic telephone exchange then. I went there, but it had been taken over to make weapons and things for the army, you know, for all the forces. And at the end of the war, it was towards the end of the war when I got called up, you see. What about you with that day? I was 17, 1925 I was born. Good as maths.
I'm rubbish at maths, I've got to say.
It must have been about 1943 or something like that. 1945, the war ended in Europe. And I had John when I was 19.
And what year was that? What year did you have your son, sorry?
1947. I was a bit old. I was just coming up to 20, I think, then. And what happened?